إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, we'll be looking at another chapter from the book Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And this is the chapter of Al-Ghusl wa Hukm al-Junub, the chapter of the ritual bath and the ruling of the Junub, the one who is sexually defiled. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu qad, from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الماء من الماء, water requires water. What does this mean? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-ma'u min al-ma, water requires water. Rawahu Muslim, Imam Muslim recorded this hadith. Wa aslu fil Bukhari, and the source is also in Sahih Bukhari. The meaning of this hadith, as the scholars have explained, and when we go back to the source, even in Sahih Muslim itself, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu went out together with the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Quba. And Quba is just a mile or 2 miles away from Medina, that is the Prophet's mosque, just some miles away from the Prophet's mosque. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri went together with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Quba, so to Banu Salim. And when they got there, there was a companion called Itban bin Malik. Itban, when he heard the voice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling him, he was on an act, and that is the act of having sexual intercourse with his wife. So he hurriedly left. So when he left, in order to answer the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Messenger of Allah felt that, and he said, قَدْ أَعَجَلْنَا الرَّجُلُ, we have hastened the man. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Itban said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that ماذا ترى في رجل عجلة عن امرأته, what is the ruling of a man who was hastened from concluding his sexual urge with his wife, that is from reaching orgasm why having sexual intercourse with his wife, that is he had not ejaculated. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now uttered this word, إِنَّمَا الْمَاءُ مِنَ الْمَاءِ, that is water requires water, that is if you had emitted the seminal fluid, this would have what entailed the ghusl. So the ghusl here is ma, while the emission of the semen is also what? Another water. Innama al-ma'u min al-ma. So this is the source of the hadith. So this was the original ruling. Just as we know that in Islam, there is what is called nasikh and mansukh. That is, at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us to do so. Then he will try us again and ask us not to do that and do this. The taqwa is when you leave what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you not to do. Though he may have asked you to do it before. Not for you to challenge, why is he now telling us that we shouldn't do so and so, or we should do this. If one is now challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a sign of not submitting oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the issue of Qibla. We were asked to face a particular place, and that is what? Baytul Maqdis. Later, the Muslims were asked to face Al-Kaaba. Some people, they apostatized as a result of this. Saying, why? Why is it that we are being disturbed? We are asked to face this side, then we are being asked to face this side again. So we are not practicing this type of religion. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولِ مِمَّا يَقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ. Changing the Qibla is for us to expose those who follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from those who will not follow him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us all. So that is what is called nasikh and mansukh. And this has to do with the rulings. With respect to the issues of stories, there is no nasikh or mansukh in stories. Stories told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, there won't be anything that will abrogate the story. The story remains the way they are. But ruling, Allah may say do this at a particular time. Then he will try us again. Do the opposite at times. So doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to do, this is the taqwa. For one to hesitate and challenge the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the sign of being impious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْمَاءُ مِنَ الْمَاءُ. Ibn Hajar just brought the area that has to do with the ruling. He didn't talk about the story aspect of the incident. But the ruling, إِنَّمَا الْمَاءُ مِنَ الْمَاءُ, or الْمَاء مِنَ الْمَاءُ, water calls for water. But this was later abrogated. It was later abrogated. Ubay ibn Ka'ab, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also attested to this. That is, this same ruling of Utban bin Malik, Ubay ibn Ka'ab also said Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted it earlier. In another hadith, it said that for people, إِنَّمَا كَانَ الْمَا مِنَ الْمَا رُخْصَةً أرخص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That is the statement that water costs for water is rukhsa. It's a kind of allowance that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave in the early time. Then ثم نهي عنها. It was later forbidden. So this is the statement of Ubay ibn Ka'ab. Now, despite this, some companions did not get to know this. And that's why it was said that Uthman radiallahu anhu added on to the opinion of إِنَّمَا الْمَاءُ مِنَ الْمَاءُ. So because they never knew anything contrary to that from Uthman radiallahu anhu. Ubay ibn Ka'ab had that opinion, but he said what? The fatwa later changed. For Ubay ibn Ka'ab to have said this, that means what? It is mansukh. Because we have other ahadith that is telling us that it has been abrogated, or telling us a ruling contrary to that. And that's why some scholars, when talking about this, they will say there is ijma on it. There is consensus that when one has sexual intercourse with one's wife, even if one does not emit semen, that one has to watch, one has to take ghostly, contrary to the previous stance. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال from Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said إذا جلس بين شعبها الأربعين, إذا جلس بين شعب الأربعين, in some of the wordings إذا قعد بين شعب الأربعين, جلس means to sit, قعد also means to sit. إذا جلس بين شعبها, if it sits between our four شعب. What is شعب? شعب is a plural word and the singular is شعب. شعب means a part. Means what? A part. As he said, الإيمان بدع وستون شعبة. إيمان is بدع وستون شعبة. 50 odd branches. So shu'ba is like a part or a branch. فَإِذَا جَلَسَ بَيْنَ شُعَبِهَا الْأَرْبَعِ, if he sits, that is if the man, the husband, sits بَيْنَ شُعَبِهَا الْأَرْبَعِ, between our four parts. What does it mean, our four parts? Scholars, they say a lot of things concerning meaning of شُعَبِهَا الْأَرْبَع. Some said the legs and the hands, that is when the man lie on the on his wife or his right hand to sex, bin ashu'abi al arba'i. Some said the thigh and the legs or the hands, a lot of, but the most important thing is this is what kinaya. It means when the man sleeps on the woman, or when the man is making attempt to have sex with his wife or his right hand to sex. Summa jahadaha. Jahada or ajhada means what? To make attempt, to exert effort to do something. Summa jahadaha, then he exerts effort in having sex with her. Faqad wajaba al-ghusl. Then bath is compulsory. So Ibn Hajar brought this hadith in order to watch, to explain the previous hadith. This is one of the hadith that abrogated the other one. Muttafaqun alayh. This is agreed upon. Faqad wajaba al-ghusl. Then ghusl is what? Compulsory. So even if the man does not ejaculate. Zada Muslim. In the report of Muslim. Wa in lam yunzil. Even if he does not emit. Even if he does not emit semen. It is compulsory to take ghusl. So this is clear now. So, and that's why scholars who have claimed ijma on it, their position has what? Weight. As for those who are not aware of this hadith, then man alima hujjatun ala man lam ya'lam. Those who know, their evidence against those who do not know. And this is what? This is Islam. At times, somebody may not be aware of some evidences concerning the particular issue. Those that are aware of the evidences should not throw away the evidences because of so and so person did not say it. As long as it is established that this is what Allah has said, this is what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, this is what the companions are upon. Even if it is majority of the companions that are upon something, you now see one or two companions holding contrary view to what it is established that most companions are upon. You not throw away what most companions are upon, you throw it away and hold on to what two companions or a companion attach or upset without clear evidence from the Quran and Sunnah. And this is how a Muslim plays safe as far as his religion is concerned. So this is done on that. In another report, it said what? إِذَا مَسَّ الْخِتَانُ الْخِتَانَ إِذَا مَسَّ الْخِتَانُ الْخِتَانَ إذا التقى الختانان. What is ختان? ختان a circumcision. So الختان is used in that hadith to refer to what? The circumcised part. إذا مس الختان الختانة أو إذا التقى الختانان. If the two circumcised parts meet, that is that of the man and that of the woman. This is what cannot meet. Cannot meet. But what the scholars have said is what? Maghibul hashafati fil farj. If the edge of the man's organ enters that of the female organ. The edge of the man's organ enters that of the female organ. Faqad wajaba al-ghusl, then ghusl is compulsory. Even if there is no izal, no emission. But if it is just the khitan, that is the clitoris of the woman, and that of the head of the man's organ that touch, this will ijma, does not call for what? For ghusl. Obviously, the clitoris of the woman and the head of the male organ, both of them touch the meat, this does not call for ghusl bil ijma. But if the head of the man's organ penetrates that of the female organ, so even if there is no inzal, no emission, then it is compulsory to take ghusl, contrary to the hadith of Abu Sa'id Khudri in the case of Ritban bin Malik. Likewise, the previous hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, contrary to that. So in some of the reports we see what إِذَا الْتَقَى الْخِتَانَانِ, if the two khitan meet. Actually, the two khitan cannot meet. That is, they are not meant to meet. But if they meet, it doesn't mean what? That is what the hadith is talking about. The scholars, they all agree that what the hadith is talking about is the head of the male's organ entering that of the female, not touching the clitoris. If it touches the clitoris, this does not call for ghusl, even if the person does not emit semen. So the most important thing is the entry of the head of the male organ. So this is what calls for ghusl. وعن أم سلمة أن أم سليم from أم سلمة one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم who was previously married to a man called Abu Salama. And when Abu Salama died, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم married her. And she had a daughter called Zainab. So أم سلمة said, أن أم سليم وهي مرات أبي طلحة. She is a wife of Abu Talha. Abu Talha married Umm Sulaym after the death of her husband too. Her husband was the father of Anas bin Malik. So Malik, the husband of Umm Sulaym. So Abu Talha married Umm Sulaym. قالت, she said, who said? أم سليم said, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, إن الله لا يستحي من الحق. Allah does not shy away from the truth. Allah wants us to tell the truth, as Allah Himself does not shy away from the truth. قل الحق ولو كان مرا. You tell the truth even if it is bitter. So a Muslim should learn to tell the truth and should not shy away from telling the truth, should not shy away from asking questions, concerning things that are not clear. Here is a lady who wanted to ask about a religion. Then she presented that. She said that was, Inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. Allah does not shy away from the truth. But that's why I shouldn't shy away from the truth. I should ask what concerns my religion. فَهَلْ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ الْغُسْلُ إِذَا احْتَلَمَتْ فَهَلْ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ الْغُسْلُ إِذَا احْتَلَمَتْ If a woman has a wet dream, is ghusl compulsion her? قَالَ نَعْمُ Messenger of Allah said, نَعْمُ إِذَا رَأَتِ الْمَاءَ If she sees water, مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ This is also agreed upon. وَعَنْ أَنَسْ بِنْ مَالِكِ From Anas, the son of Malik, رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, قال, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, في المرأة ترى في منام أما يرى الرجل Concerning a woman, Tara, that sees Fima Namiha in asleep, Mayara Raju, what the man sees. Call, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Taktasilu, he should take a bath, Muttafaqun alayhi. This is agreed upon. Wazada Muslimun, Imam Muslim added, Faqalat Ummu Sulaym said, Wa al yakunu hadha. وَلْيَكُونُ هَذَا That is, will this happen? قَالَ نَعْمُ فَمِنْ أَيْنَ يَكُونُ الشَّبَى Then where does the shabah, the resemblance, come from? Now this hadith and the previous one, they are saying the same thing. Ummu Salama reported this, that Ummu Sulaym was involved in this incident. And Umm Sulaym asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, Anas radiallahu anha said, what? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, concerning a woman that sees what a man sees in his dream. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? Take testing. He should take his ghusl. So Muslim added, فَقَالَتْ Umm Sulaym. Umm Sulaym said, yeah, there is an error. Huh? It's not Umm Sulaym, it is Umm Salama that said, وَهَلْ يَكُونُ هَذَا Is that so? That is, does the woman see? Does the woman have what? Wet dream? قَالَ نَعْمُ Messenger of Allah said, yes. فَأَيْنَ يَكُونُ الشَّبَى Where does the resemblance come? Where does the resemblance come? So not Umm Sulaym that said, It is Umm Salama, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's another report that said Aisha said so. And that's why scholars have said in the fitting, there was Aisha and there was also Umm Salama, both of them wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was Umm Sulaym. Was Anas in the fitting? Anas was not in the fitting. But Umm Sulaym, the mother of Anas, narrated what transpired in that fitting too. A son, Anas. But who has the question? فَلْيَكُونُ هَذَا It is Umm Salama. Likewise, Aisha radiallahu anha. Both of them were surprised concerning this. And that's why in some of the reports, when Umm Salama or Aisha radiallahu anha heard this from Umm Sulaym, the question, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ فَعَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ الْغُسْلُ إِذَا رَأَتْ ما يرى الرجل عائشة رضي الله عنها said what أم سلمة said لقد فضحت النساء you have embarrassed the women why asking this type of question why asking this type of what question that a woman has wet dream why saying this that if a woman sees what a man sees that is that to portray the woman as somebody who's somehow what you know, wet dream will be as a result of having sex in dream. So wet dream will be as a result of having sex in dream. So if a woman is asking this type of thing before the man, so before or in front of a man, so it's like what? The woman is embarrassing the women. So this is what Umm Salama radiallahu anha said, لَقَدْ فَضَحْتِ النِّسَاءِ. You have embarrassed the women. So, but she also knew, I mean Umm Sulaym knew, that ordinarily this is something that some women would not want to say. But in Allah, لا يستحي من الحق. Allah doesn't shy away from the truth. So I should know what I should do in my religion. So if such a thing happens to me, and I've been praying without asking questions, for years I've been making mistakes. And here is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Medina together with me. I cannot ask questions. So this is something that is very, very wrong. Some people, they have in their environment, in their society, students of knowledge, or even scholars, that they can ask concerning what questions, but they will not ask. They will prefer to keep those things to themselves, and they will be acting ignorantly. And with this, things will be written against them. Why? Because this is what al-jahil al-mu'rij. Al-jahil al-mu'rij is somebody who is ignorant, but he has every opportunity to learn, he does not want to learn. Such a person has no excuse. When they talk about al-udhu bil-jahl, excusing somebody because of ignorance, not somebody who has every opportunity to learn, but he refuses to learn. Such a person is not excused. Such a person is treated like somebody who knows and is acting contrary to his knowledge, because he has every opportunity to learn. And that attribute is not the attribute of a Muslim. Yes, we are not saying he's a kafir, as long as what he's engaged in is not kufr itself. If it's something of mercy, ordinary sin, he's an asi, he's a sinful person. But that attribute of not wanting to learn about the deen, that attitude is not attitude of a Muslim. Because Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who disbelieve, they are turning away. مُعْرِضُونَ عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. They are turning away from what they are being warned from. They don't want to listen. Some people will say, okay, I don't want evidence to be established on me, so I won't go to halakot of knowledge. Because if I go there, the malam will say things. And if the malam say things, I may not be able to do those things. So it is better for me to remain ignorant. So if I remain ignorant, then I will be excused for my ignorance. No, that is not correct. The person that will be excused for his ignorance is somebody who has tried his best, and there is no, he can't find way of knowing more than what he has known. Though he's making a mistake, but he doesn't know more than this. There is nobody to teach him. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Tariqul Ijratain explained in details, talking about al-jahil, the ignorant one. He said there is al-jahil, that is what? That is excused, and there is jahil, that is what? That is al-mu'rij. The jahil that is excused is the one that will say, oh Allah, if I know something better than what I'm doing, wallahi, I will do it. But this is what? The ayat that I know. I don't know more than this. Oh Allah, accept this from me. Even if such a person is doing what is wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will excuse him. Because what he's doing is not doing it out of what? Arrogance and stubbornness. But someone who is ignorant, what is his ignorance is as a result of what? Being stubborn and arrogant. Such a person has no excuse. So, and that is why Umm Salama said, in Allah, la yastahi min al-haq. Allah doesn't shy away from the truth. So let me ask for this. So assuming that she has not asked the question. Maybe a lot of women wouldn't have what had the knowledge of this. That if a woman has wet dreams, as if somebody is sleeping with her in a dream. Maybe the husband is sleeping with her in a dream. Or a master is sleeping with her in a dream. Islamically, is there anything wrong in this? No, there is nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. But some people are possessed by the jinn. And some of them will say that they have somebody that will come and sleep with them in dreams. Maybe a strange person. So this is jinn cases. That the women that are affected, they ought to engage in adhkar a lot in order to free themselves from this demonic possession. But ordinarily, a woman being aspect with by a husband or a master. When I say master, that is she's a slave, not a house girl. So this is something that is not doesn't have any negative meaning at all. But if it has to do with maybe the jinn, so this is a different thing. As somebody narrated a case of a woman that whenever she's pregnant, somebody will come and have sex with her. And if that happens, the following day, she will deliver the baby stillborn. That has happened to her maybe 2-3 times. So this has to do with what? Jinn. But ordinarily, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, but what concerns us in this chapter, which is a chapter of fiqh, is that if she wakes up, or he wakes up, what is he or she going to do? Having remembered that he or she had sex in dream. If he or she wakes up and there is water, then in namal ma'u min al ma'i, that hadith we apply. That hadith in namal ma'u min al ma'i, we still apply the hadith. And that's why it was said that Abdullah ibn Abbas or the line, that hadith is not mansukh completely. Only the ruling has been altered somehow. Just like the case of fasting. Huh? That وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِيَّةٌ فَعَمُ مِسْكِينَ. That at the early stage, if you like, you fast. If you like, you don't fast. You can feed people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. That is compulsory. Does that mean that it is compulsory for everybody? It's not said for man kana maridan aw ala safarin fa iddatun min ayamin ukhra. So some people are watching. Likewise, those that who fast it with the faculty. Now, وَعَلَى الَّذِي يُتِيقُونَهُ. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, those that يُتِيقُونَهُ يعني يُطَوَّقُونَهُ, those who will fast it with difficulty, that these people, they are still what? Addressed by that verse. So he said it's not mansukh. It's not mansukh. So the Salaf al-Salih, at times when they use the word mansukh, what they mean is what? They mean mukhassas. The ruling has been adjusted. Not that it has been what? Abrogated completely. So and that's why the terminology of the first people and the terminology of the later people, we have to understand it. If the Salaf, one of the Salaf said this is mansukh, it may not necessarily mean that what it has been abrogated completely. What the later people will call what? That will call what? Maqsus or mukhassas or muqayyad. What they will call muqayyad. So this is what some of the Salaf will refer to as what? Mansukh. That is something that has been restricted. Earlier it was general, then it was later specified. Or earlier it was a kind of what was it called? It is a it was a mutlaq, unspecified. Then it will be what? Mukhassas or mahsus, specified. They use words or the word mansukh at times. So and that's why it is said that Abdullah ibn Abbas said, "Innama al-ma min al-ma" is still operational, and it is used in a situation where somebody acts sex in dream, and when he wakes up, he sees water. Then water calls for water. If he doesn't see water, then there is no any ghusl. Even if he goes 10 rounds in dream, if he wakes up, he look at his body, no water, no ghusl. Because in namal ma'u min al ma. So this is what this ahadith are talking about. So if one does not see water, so there is no water. So there's no any need for ghusl. Now when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Salama said, "Wal yakun hadha," that is, does a woman have wet dream? Does a woman have wet dream? Meaning it's not something that is common. Some of the women would not have a wet dream, and some will have. So those women that have wet dream, they are not possessed, except if you have what? Special cases. And men that have wet dream, it's not that they are possessed. It is natural. It is natural. So likewise, the hadith talks about seeing what the man sees, meaning what comes out of the man comes out of the woman as well. What comes out of the man also comes out of the woman. The semen that comes out of the man also comes out of the women. So this is also mentioned by the hadith. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Umm Salama said, "Wahal yakunu hadha," that is, does a woman has what? Have a semen or something like that, secretion. Apart from wet dream, in real life, if a man is having sex with his wife, we all know that the man ejaculates or releases. We know this. But does a woman also emit or secret anything? One can also understand that maybe some women do not have that. Because if all women would have that, Umm Salama radiallahu anha wouldn't have what? Asked. Or we say, all women will have it, based on the answer given by the Messenger of Islam, but some of them would not observe that. They were not observant that they will have that. And this is what? The correct thing. Because Messenger of Islam said, فَمِنْ أَيْنَ يَكُونُ الشَّبَهُ. Where does the resemblance come? Where does the resemblance come? Now, we know medically that a man, if a man releases, the semen has millions of spermatozoa, millions of sperms, as we know. And they will say it's only one that is going to fertilize the ovum. And the woman also has an ovum, which is the egg. Now, what is the water being referred to here? We said that of the man is the semen. And that of the women, is it the secretion itself? Most of the past people, they will say what? The secretion. Why some people are trying in the modern time to say, no, it's not the secretion, it is the oven itself. They will say the oven itself is water. is about 92 or 95% water. I mean the egg of the woman. So they say that is what Messenger of Allah is referring to. But what most scholars will say is that what is a secretion. Is a secretion. So, wallahu a'lam, science is talking about this. Even some people who are not Muslims, some of them, they have looked at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning this seminal fluid in the Quran. Some of them will look into some of the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, some Muslim embryologists also look at this. And there is a man called Kate Moore. He was employed in one of the Saudi universities, I think in Jeddah, to work about embryology in what in the Quran, and he did a very beautiful work where he proved the scientific whatever of the stages of the fetus in the Quran. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran. And this is one of the most renowned embryologists in the world, Kate Moore. Apart from that of Boris Buchan, the man who wrote the Quran and the modern science, or the Quran, the Bible, and the science. Apart from that, so this man proved that this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is, there's another hadith. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he was talking about the resemblance. He said, "Is a سبق ماء الرجل ماء المرأة نزع الولد." If the water of the man outdoes that of the woman, نزع الولد, that is, the son, the child, will resemble the man. وإذا سبق ماء المرأة ماء الرجل نزعته. And if the water of the woman outdoes that of the man, the son or the child rather, resembles this is proven. But how does a male child come, or the female child come? There's another hadith that talks about this, that is hadith of Thauban. So this, a lot of them also talked about this. But the Shahi there is the Messenger of Allah sallam established that the woman also has what? Has a water. Also has a water. Whether it's secretion, that is she secretes, or the oven, as some have said. And Ummu Salama radiallahu anha said, "Hal yakunu hadha?" Does a woman secrete, or does a woman have water? Qala na'am. He said, "Yes." From in ayna yakunu shaba? Where does the resemblance come, if not from this? So this is on the issue of the seminal fluid, and when it is necessary to take ghusl on it. So inshallah we'll be talking about the various types of ghusl that we have, but this is with respect to janaba and the seminal fluid, as the author as brought. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with this. So maybe if you have questions before the time to Maghrib, inshallah.
You mentioned that yeah, this mentioned that when you teach someone to try to work on it, then it's compulsory. Now, want to go about talk about civil circumcision. What is that stand that we propose, encourage, or how do we do it at what age?
نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Concerning female circumcision, is it compulsory? Now, according to the Shafi'iyya, they are of the opinion that it is compulsory because there is nothing that differentiates to death between a male and a female. So what you have is what is that circumcision is compulsory. Yes, there are some ahadith that say that it is not compulsory on the females to be circumcised. So this ahadith is what majority of the scholars have used as evidence to say female circumcision is not compulsory. That is makruma for the females. It's something of honor, not something that is compulsory. But this hadith, some scholars said it is not authentic. And that's why they hold on to the general hadith saying that it is compulsory to do circumcision. I hope it is clear. So, but are they going to do the circumcision? So, there is a hadith that said, "Watch, ashimni wala tulhiki." That is, just cut it a bit, don't cut it deep. The clitoris should not be cut deep in such a way that you make the girl lose the sexual urge. So it should be cut a bit. Now in Nigeria, I think it has been outlawed that the females, even worldwide, except in some Muslim countries, so that the females should not be circumcised. Though some people are still doing it secretly. So, but what most scholars are upon is that to circumcise the female child or children, so that this is not compulsory. Allahu
Akbar. You mentioned that the Salawah Act is held, no child is going to have. Is this for the Prophet or?
Not for the Prophet of Allah, for Abu Salam. She did not have any child for the Prophet of Allah. She had Zainab and also had Umar. Now, for those who hold on to the view that circumcision is compulsory, what should they do? So, well, they are to determine what they are going to do. Yes, the government has not been strict on it. But let's assume that the government has been strict on it. So, what would they do? So, every government is punishing people for it, but they should leave it. Because it will be something that should be somehow dangerous, and it will be risky in order to do it if the government is punishing people for doing it. But if the government is not punishing people for doing it, it's just outlawed, just in the book, then they are free to do it. People are still doing it. Allahu Akbar.
Can
we?
About the home Muslim. Correct?
We are doing ghusl. Now, the correct way of doing ghusl, inshallah, we are still going to talk about that. But the most important thing is that water should just cover every part of your body, touch every part of your body. That's the most important thing. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, some people ask them that inna arduna ardun barida, that is our land, it's a very wet and cold land. So, and they asked him, how are we going to take ghusl? He said, ama ana, as for me, fa ufrid ala rati salata ifragat, I'll just pour water on my body, that is on my edge, three times. Then I'm pure. So if one wants to do that of ablution, as we have it in the hadith of Maimuna and the hadith of Aisha, this is also what Welcome. That is a full ghusl. But pouring water to touch every part of the body, this is what is also acceptable, just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told those people. Inshallah, you are still able to talk about this. Now, the ghusl in which one does not perform ablution, can one pray with it? This is what most scholars are upon. You can pray with it. That is, if the ghusl is ghusl that is lifting al-hadath. You know, we talk about hadath. There are two types of hadath: hadath akbar and hadath asghar. When you defecate, you have an ablution before you defecate or you urinate. After cleaning yourself, you're having ablution before, then you now defecate or urinate. Or even you release gas, you have lost the ablution. You are no longer having that ablution. So you renew ablution. When you lose that ablution, you say what? You are muhdith. You are muhdith. That is, you are defiled. You are muhdith. But what type of hadath is that? Is it major one or minor? Minor one. The major one is that of hajj or nifa or janaba. These are the major defilements. But as for the one who has ablution before, he now releases gas or defecates or urinates. Such a person is defiled. But the defilement is minor one. That is, he has lost ablution. All he needs to do is to renew his ablution. But if one has sexual intercourse, or one ejaculates, even if one does not have sexual intercourse, or one inserts one's organ in that of the female without ejaculation, you say the person is sexually defiled. So that is what hadathun akbar. Now, hadathun akbar requires ghusl. So when you are doing the ghusl, you are trying to take away the hadathun akbar. So invariably you are taking away the hadathun asghar. Because if you have removed the bigger hadath, definitely you have removed the smaller hadath. And that's why most scholars are upon this. And this is even close word to consensus. So there is no consensus on it, but it is close to consensus. That you can go ahead to pray with the ghusl that you have used to remove the defilement without ablution. But can you do the same thing with ghusl Jum'ah or ghusl Eid? The bath of Jum'ah, that of Eid? No, you can't do that. Because when you take the ghusl of Eid, you are not removing any defilement. When you do that of Juma, you are not removing what? Defilement. So you cannot go ahead with the ghusl of Juma in which you do not perform ablution. You can't go ahead to pray Salah with it. All this is clear.
Someone performed a of a major adapter. And someone now touches his brother, maybe passionately.
Now the one who has performed ghusl, he now touches his organ, his organ, maybe male or female organ. Can he pray with that? He can't pray with it. According to the stronger opinion, and I think this you have mentioned this. Yeah, some scholars are of the opinion that if he touches his organ without any urge, that the tahara is still retained without urge. And this is the view of Sheikh Al-Albani and some others. But majority of the scholars are of the opinion that even if it's without urge, that he has lost the tahara, Yes, the ghusl is intact. But he has lost the tahara, he cannot go ahead to pray with it. He cannot go ahead to pray with it. Based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that إذا أبوا أدوكم بيده إلى فرجه وليس بينه وبينها ستر ولا حجاب فقد وجب الوضوء. If anyone of you touches his farj, his auger, and there is no any ستر, no screen between the hand and the organ, huh? The sexual organ, فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْوُدُوءُ, then wudu is compulsory. Now another report, مَنْ مَسَّ فَرْجَهُ فَلْيَتَوَضَّأَ, whoever touches his private part, فَلْيَتَوَضَّأَ, should perform ablution. So it is general. It is specified that if he touches it with intention or with the urge. But the hadith, the other hadith that says innama huwa bad'atun mink, is only a flesh of you. Huh? So that hadith, it was said that was an early part of Islam. So this hadith of Basra has abrogated that. Wallahu a'lam.
Taking a Christian drink is kind of close environment after washing private parts.
No?
After washing private parts, you now pour water on your hand, like taking a bath. So without putting anything on you, the bathroom that is closed. So after I now keep on the floor, you have to do ablution. Is
it
proper?
Yes, it's proper. As long as you have done the normal ablution. That is, did you do ablution in the ghusl before?
Mm-hmm.
There is no harm. One can take normal ghusl, that is, take the ghusl of Janaba or Hajj, or even that of Juma, then later one performs ablution separately. No harm. No harm. But the best is for one to include the ablution in the bath. That when one is performing ablution, one uses the small finger in order to wash, so to say, between the toes. Yes, this is the practice of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and we have the general, khallil bin al-asabi. Khallil bin al-asabi, that is, try to do takhlil of the between the asabi. So both the asabi, the fingers and the toes. So it is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah that we use the little finger to do that.
Is there another part of ablution
that
is not that common?
That is
not that common. Is
there another part of ablution? No, I don't know. Somebody travels and there is no water. What now happens to the person? The person has wet dream or he has sexual intercourse with his wife. Wet dream, what is he going to do? He's going to do tayammum in the absence of water. If there is no water, he's going to do tayammum. Huh? And tayammum, as has been explained, is for one to place once the ant on the soil or the sand, and if there is anything that has gone to eat, one try to shake and remove it, then one wipes the face with it, then the ant up to the wrist, the two ants up to the wrist, that is the palm, both front and back up to the wrist, as we have it in the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. But majority of the scholars, they will say, what you do it up to the elbows. So this is also authentic from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So, and this, when majority of the scholars are talking about how you do tayammum, they always mention up to the elbows. So don't attack those who are doing it up to the elbows. It is established from the Athar of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, but from that of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, it is up to the wrist. So this is the way one does tayammum. So, and tayammum, is it something that replaces the purification? You know, you are supposed to take ghusl of janaba, but because you can't find water to take ghusl, or you are unable to use the water, you can find water but you are unable to use it, then you are seriously ill or it is very cold, then you resort to tayammum. Now that tayammum, is it what's it called? Is it mubihu lis salah? Is it allowing to pray, or is what rafi'un lil ada, or is it removing the hadath in you, that hadath of which one? Is it just allowing you to pray, or is lifting the hadath? Scholars are different. Some said it's what is lifting the hadath. Some said it's lifting the hadath. Why some other scholars said no, it's mubih, it's just allowing you to pray. Now they all agree that if you see water, or you are able to use water, you have to take the ghusl. They all agree. Because Nabi Muhammad said, فَإِذَا وَجَدَ الْمَاءَ فَلْيُمِسَّهُ بَشَرَةً. If he find water, then he use the water to watch. He should apply the water to his body. They all agree. But temporarily, is the hadas away? That defilement, is it away? Some said it's away. Some said, no, it's not away. You are just allowed to use it to watch, to do some acts of ibadat. But wallahu alam, since you are still going to use water to take good food, if you can find water, or you are able to use water, then you say, what? It's not lifting it. It's just allowing you to use water, to do some iradat. Wallahu alam. Is he allowed to pray to Salah with one tayammum? That's another issue. Can you pray to Salah with one tayammum? A lot of scholars will tell you no. They will say, because you are just using it to pray that particular Salah. And once you use it for that particular Salah, then you cannot use another compulsory Salah. Yes, you can use it for Nafila, to pray Nafila after. But for another compulsory Salah, when it is time for that compulsory Salah, then you do what? You do another tayammum in order to what? To do istibaha of that again. So, but some scholars will say, he has said what? A tayammum, a sa'idu tayyib, the sa'idu tayyib, that is what is on the surface of the earth that is pure, is tahurul Muslim, is what purifies a Muslim. Wa in lam yajid ma ashra sinin, even if he can't find water for 10 years. That means what nullifies your vision, nullifies tayammum. So, which means you can pray with one tayammum as many salawat as possible, as long as it has not been initiated by any of the nullifiers of vision. Wallahu a'lam. Both of them are correct. You can do the face, then you can also do the hand. both of them. You can do the face first, and you can also do the hand first. فَمْسْحُوا بِأُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِي. How do you have? How do you play? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.